You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
It's gonna be a football game tonight now.
No doubt.
It's gonna be a football game.
Here. Okay.
I done been here.
All right, let's go, baby.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to football.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to another Football to Football as we are heading into week 9 of the NFL season, about halfway through now. Guys, can you believe it? We've made it halfway.
Wow.
It's gone by so fast.
I know. It feels like yesterday we were just previewing the season.
Yeah, I know. Well, I am your host, Sean Garmer, with me. You just heard both their voices, but Mr. Gary Vaughn.
Yeah, I just wish my life was as sweet as, a certain Cincinnati tight end. I mean, his life is pretty sweet with a hat trick, you know, Mr. Eifert.
And Mr. Randy Isbell.
Yeah, my life's more like Manziel's right now.
Oh, man.
Oh, y'all.
Sorry. I think we've all gotten here, have gotten or getting to that point.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, we are going to talk a little bit about that blowout in Cincinnati between the Bengals and the Browns. And at one point, it wasn't that, at least until they got to halftime. Then after halftime, it became what it became. But we'll talk about that. And, of course, our main deal here, we're going to preview the way we do the previews, with a question, a game question, and a fantasy question about each game happening. And, you know, we'll talk about all the games, and then we'll move on to doing some picks for college football as well. And then we'll do our what we're looking forward to the most, and that's pretty much it. But let's go ahead and get this one out of the way. In the first two quarters, the Browns were keeping it together. Johnny Manziel looked pretty good. He was getting out of the pocket. He made a nice touchdown throw to Duke Johnson. And then the second half happened, and Cleveland had 17 unanswered points. The Browns couldn't even get a third down, I think, until at the end, almost the end of the game in the second half. And yeah, Manziel looked much, much different. But any takeaways or anything from the game for you guys?
You know, looking at this and when you look at Manziel, you kind of had, medium expectations. You kind of hoped he'd come in strong. In the first half here, I thought he looked okay. I mean, he didn't do too bad. You know, he eluded the rush quite a bit. He was able to make a few throws. It was just after Cincinnati went in and kind of adjusted some things, it was like he couldn't overcome the adjustments. And, you know, I understand, you know, he's still a young quarterback. You got to give him a break there. But, you know, he's just got to be able to overcome adversity. But you got to be honest, this Cincinnati defense is pretty darn good. And I think there's a lot of quarterbacks that have trouble with him. So can't blame him too much for that.
Anything for you, Randy?
Yeah, Gary hit it right on the head. This was just proof that Cincinnati is a way better team than Cleveland. They went into halftime and realize that, listen, Manziel is dangerous if he can get out of the pocket and kind of buy time and stuff. So they stopped blitzing and just tried to contain him. And Manziel got lost. Like, in the pocket, he would get lost. Like, he wanted to run somewhere and couldn't, and then would just get sacked or would throw it away or just look confused. So it was a great job by Cincinnati realizing what they needed to do just to mess with his head.
Yeah, that too. And, I mean, Andy Dalton had a good day. 3 touchdowns, all to Tyler Eifert, as Gary mentioned in the open there. And pretty much, you know, the running game was doing its thing with between Bernard and Hill. And, yeah, they controlled that game. The defense, as Randy noted, was able to keep Manziel in check. And those 17 unanswered points are pretty much what makes it that 31-10 score. That being said, though, I mean, Manziel had his moments. It's now that your team is now 2-7. You have Pittsburgh coming up next week. You know what that's probably going to be. Do you just keep Manziel in here until the end of the season, or do you see them going back to McCown because they feel like they owe it to the fans or something? Or what do you think, Gary?
You know, I, you know me. I've been on the keep Manziel in there. Just let him do things. Let him take care of what he needs to take care of in a real game situation. Only because you are in this hole. Now, it'd be a different story if they weren't in the hole. If they had the opportunity to possibly make the tournament, but at the end of the day, that's not going to happen. It's just obvious. And Randy's made a lot of great points about McCown, and I've appreciated listening to those because, you know, I didn't really appreciate McCown at times, but I think that you've got to go with a young guy here. You've already pretty much got to rebuild the season anyway, so why not?
Well, Randy, Gary and I talked about this during the Ravel for the post game, but we looked at their schedule, and, I mean, they don't have the most difficult one going forward. How many wins do you really think that they could have in the end?
I mean, if you look at it, I mean, they still have to play Pittsburgh, and they still have to play Baltimore. I mean, yes, Baltimore is not what they used to be, but I mean, still tough division games. They have to travel to Denver and to Arizona still. So, I mean, really, realistically, you could definitely see like a 13-3, 14-2 record out of these guys.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I went to, Randy, is 14-2. And, you know, even if it's not a win against Arizona or a loss against Arizona, if maybe it's a loss against Baltimore, that could be a trap game. You know, even Pittsburgh could be a trap game. So you just never know. None of these are promises, but, you know, I don't know why. I just kind of 14-2 sounds about where they probably will be.
I think I like Randy's number at the end, probably. Really thinking about it, 13-3, they'll probably lose both or one of those games against Denver and Arizona, and then, you know, with those division games, could be a crapshoot.
Yeah, you realize though, if they lose to either Arizona or Denver, people are going to say, "Oh well, they'll be one and out again in the playoffs."
True, but you know, if they make it to where they don't have to, let's say, you know, Denver slips up or something like that, and they wind up with that second seed, and they don't have to play on the first weekend, you know, it could do them a lot of good. You know, cool. We'll have to see. I mean, there isn't a whole lot to take out of this other than, like I said, we'll have to see what Cleveland decides to do with Manziel. We'll have to, and things will keep moving on for the Bengals. But that being said, let's get into this NFL Week 9 here as the Detroit Lions go on by along with the Arizona Cardinals, Kansas City Chiefs, Houston Texans, Seattle Seahawks, and Baltimore Ravens. So that's 6 teams on by this week. That means there's 3 potential matchups that are not happening. And the Detroit Lions, after last week's blowout loss to Kansas City, fire more people in the front. They fire some people in the front office. They fire their GM and president. They're going to keep Jim Caldwell as the coach. Are they just firing everybody around Jim Caldwell because they don't want to actually have to do the actual heavy part of firing Jim Caldwell, or is it really because it is everybody but him?
I think he's next. I think they're slowly kind of just cleaning out the closet, and he's just the next one to go. I don't think he survives the whole year.
Yeah, I think they're giving him an opportunity to continue to see what he can do. I think they are blaming personnel more than they are the coaching here. And, you know, that's sometimes you got to respect that because they see that, hey, the head coach is working hard. It's just that he's not given the right tools. And so that's what they're looking at here. But honestly, he better watch out because, like Randy said, he's the next one on the chopping block.
Fair enough. I agree. Randy hit it. There's no way I can see Jim Caldwell being there at the end of the season, let alone being there when the draft comes up for 2016. Just cannot see it. That this team is in such disarray, and they couldn't have hit the bye week any faster. They really needed it. Let's see if anything happens when they get to week 10. But that being said, we have a huge game in the NFC. Green Bay Packers visiting the Carolina Panthers. Game of the week for us, probably game of the week for a lot of people. There is some other really interesting games happening this week. So, you know, like CBS has their game of the week as the Broncos and Colts. But I think this one between the 6-1 Packers and the 7-0 Panthers is really big. So that being said, because I just said it's really big, whoever wins this game will be at the top of the NFC at the end of the season. Randy.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I gotta go with Green Bay. I really do, as far as who's gonna be the top of this conference.
I was just saying, is this game that important that it's gonna...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not really. Just, I mean, as far as this game goes, because it is technically one game, yes, it'll be a tiebreaker down the line, but I mean, they both have some tough matchups still to come. So, I mean, it's a good test for them, but if they lose it, I'm not going to go, oh, well, they have no chance come playoff time.
Right. Well, Gary, true or false, this game will be more about the Packers' defense than Aaron Rodgers.
I think that it could be true. Man, that's a tough one because I think both are big factors. But I will say true because it's up to the Packers defense to play like they played all year thus far to make sure that this game stays in check because Cam Newton can burn people. And the Packers defense, let's be honest, Denver kind of showed that you can beat them. So it's up to them to keep this game in check where they can, you know, basically let Aaron Rodgers run away with it.
Do you even start Eddie Lacy? Is it a question of starting Eddie Lacy or James Starks here against this Panthers defense? That
I think if you have Eddie Lacy, you play Eddie Lacy, but it's not a confident play. Don't expect a lot of production, maybe minimal. But, you know, it's hard to sit a guy like Eddie Lacy. Starks, I'm not as sold on just because of the fact that, you know, he's done some good things this year. But really, both these guys are not sold for me.
All right. So, I mean, I'm going to have a match. I've had matchups already this year where I have both those quarterbacks on my team. If for some reason you do have Cam, Aaron Rodgers, who are you starting?
I always go. You have to go with Aaron Rodgers. Cam Newton's great. He can use his feet. He's done great this year, but let's be honest. The one guy that he has to really depend on is Greg Olsen. Besides him and his running backs, the rest of these receivers are non-existent. Aaron Rodgers has a multiple set of weapons to get the ball out to, so I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Well, let's move it along to my first game, the Washington Redskins visiting Gillette Stadium and the New England Patriots. Gary, how big of a blowout is this game?
You don't want to do picks this week?
Oh, picks. I'm sorry. I forgot about doing actual picks.
Well, I figure this game is so tough to pick that we don't want to, but...
Yeah, yeah.
It is. Oof. What do you
think? I think I wound up picking the Panthers in this game, actually, because they're at home. And I think their defense is going to be able to stifle Mr. Rodgers, similar to what the Broncos did.
Yeah, look for Norman to completely shut down Cobb. I'm going to take Carolina, too.
Oh, wow. You guys are, you know, really thinking that that Carolina defense is going to be able to bottle up Aaron Rodgers, and they may very well be able to. I mean, we saw Denver do it last week. I just have a hard time betting against Aaron Rodgers 2 weeks in a row. This guy has the mojo that Ben Roethlisberger used to have. I'm going Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
All right. So, again, how big of a blowout is Washington, New England?
This is going to be disgusting. I say that, but, you know, in my opinion, the Washington defense can be stiff. They can give you a little few issues here and there. But in the end, I mean, New England's going to run away with it. It's going to be kind of like that Miami game you saw. So, yeah, it's going to be gross.
All right, Randy, over under 2.5 touchdowns for Gronk.
Oh, geez. I'm going to say under. I'm going to say that they jump out so early that that's a lot of Deion Lewis and a lot of LeGarrette Blount.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Gary, I mean, is there any Washington Redskins that you start in this game?
Honestly, there's not a whole lot of them. I mean, their running back situation, once again, I mean, they are a true committee. You got Alfred Morris, Matt Jones is kind of the primary guy there, but they still use all three of their big, you know, their running backs. And so I'm not sold any of the running backs. Kirk Cousins is not going to have a great day. I mean, I think the one guy that you may have in the receiving corps that could do anything, maybe Jordan Reed, but besides that, I don't see a lot of production from the Washington offense.
That's the one guy I'm starting to. I start Garcon in some leagues because I just have guys on bye, but
mm-hmm.
You know, New England does let you play with it sometimes. It's just when they want to shut it down, they can if they want.
It depends too in junk time, so.
Right, exactly. So, prediction. Want to give a score just for fun?
49-3 Washington. No, I'm just kidding. No, Patriots by a lot.
I'll play the game. I'll say 35-10. Junk time touchdown will happen in this game. New England, by the way.
I'll say that 35 score. I'll say 17. So Randy's first game here is the New Orleans Saints visiting the Tennessee Titans, who have fired their coach, Ken Whisenhunt, after having to deal with Mettenberger as his quarterback, not because it's his fault. Were the Titans right in firing Whisenhunt at this point?
No, it's whatever. You're not going anywhere anyways, so obviously it's a front office disagreement that usually leads to this kind of stuff. It's not like I'm never one of those where, oh, they're making a statement to their fans that they care about winning. It's like, no, it's like, obviously they just don't work well together and they're just going to move on now. It's not like this is going to change anything. They're still going to go 3-13 and have a good draft pick, and whoever they get to come in, you know, they'll go from there.
It is interesting, and I want to say that, you know, Randy hit on definitely the front office, and this is just, it's their decision to go on because they have just maybe a feud of going behind the scenes or something's going on here. I don't know what that is personally, but, I mean, that front office has been kind of wishy-washy, and the more and more I'm learning about them, the more I don't have any confidence in what they're doing. But yeah, I mean, I think that personally, I think Whisenhunt had an okay thing going. I mean, sure, you can make the change now, but man, I think if they gave him more time, this guy could do more things.
Well, you think Tennessee gets any kind of new coach bump like Miami did?
I'm not going to say that.
No, I don't think they do. Because with Miami, they have the talent. They just had a terrible coach. So they got a coach and they started playing up their talent. Tennessee doesn't have the talent.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Over, under, or Fact or fiction, Drew Brees throws more than 4 touchdowns in this game.
Nah, fiction. I think it's under that. I think they run the ball. It's another one of those blowout type games.
You know what? I'm going to go opposite. I'll go fact. I think, you know, they can run the ball, but I think that Drew Brees will just have a great time. If he can throw the ball for as many touchdowns as he can, he will. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Gary, do you have any faith in Antonio Andrews as anything for fantasy?
I mean, I think that he could do a little here. I don't, you know, once again, you got to keep your expectations low. Only because of the fact that, you know, he's not lighting anybody up. But I think that, you know, if he's going to do it against anybody, New Orleans is a defense that you can get the ball run on him. And so I feel like, you know, he could have a decent day. I mean, he could get you maybe 75 yards and a touchdown.
I could have swore the Saints.
The run defense isn't terrible, but, I mean, I don't think that, you know, they're going to shut down. I have a hard time believing they're shutting them completely down.
I could have swore the Saints picked up somebody because of Kyrie Robinson getting hurt that actually could bleed into Mark Ingram a little bit. I don't remember who it was exactly. I'm like totally just blanking right now.
Not Joseph Randle, right?
No, not Joseph Randle. I don't think he's getting signed by anyone. But
remember, there are so many pickups and transactions, and I've lost.
Yeah, I don't know, but I thought I saw it, and I was like, oh, this is somebody that could actually compete with Ingram for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, if you're. So you're saying, so, you know, if you go with Randy saying start Ingram more than starting some of the receivers,
No, I'd say start everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Anybody on the New Orleans offense you're starting. And, you know, you can even say that for the Titans. I feel like they can have some success. I just feel like, you know, New Orleans players will have more success if you're going to bet on anybody.
All right, so everybody taking New Orleans?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to watch the Dolphins again as they travel to Buffalo to take on the Bills. So they got Bills got Tyrod Taylor back. Does that mean that we're going to see the Bills that we saw when Tyrod Taylor was playing? Or is it going to be a mixture of what we have with EJ Manuel and I mean, because they still don't have Watkins, they still don't have Harvin. So
I think we get a little bit of it back. I mean, they are coming off a bye as well, so you can bounce off of that. But I don't think it's going to go back to where it was like the first couple weeks. But it's going to be an improvement over the last few.
So, no Cameron Wake for the Dolphins. I mean, do you think? I think Miami is about to get bombarded here with the Buffalo line, even though we did see the Giants line kind of keep Buffalo in check. So it can be done, but over under. Over under 3.5 sacks for Ryan Tannehill. Gary.
For Tannehill?
That he gets sacked 3.5
times. Yeah, okay. You know, I'll take the over. Why not? I mean, I think that they're going to be passing the ball. Not often, but they'll be trying to take chances here, and I'll just say it. I still think that Buffalo's defense is good enough to do it. It may be a stretch, but I'll take it.
All right, so you're saying that pretty much you shouldn't play Lamar Miller then?
I know, for me personally, I think Lamar Miller has gotten a little bit more rhythm here. I don't think he's a great play. I'm not saying he's going to be one of your top 10 running backs this week in fantasy, but I think he's a decent play. I think he's a good maybe running back too.
All right, fair enough. I mean, Buffalo still got their committee or whatever that those two guys they got left or... Would you rather have Tannehill or Taylor?
Oh, that's a good question because I think both defenses basically cause different problems. But if you're asking me, I don't know that Taylor's going to come off real hot right away. I think in this game, I'm going to go with Tannehill, surprisingly enough.
All right, so who's going to... win this game.
Give me the home team coming off a bye. I know Taylor might be a little rusty, but I think he leads the Bills to a victory.
You know, I usually always go with the team after the bye, and I think that, you know, I want to, but in a way I just have this gut feeling. I got to go with my gut, even if it's wrong. Maybe Miami kind of gets their mojo going back. Maybe Dan Campbell whispers some things in their ear, and they win this game.
Yeah, Dolphins are 0-2 in the division, right? So they really need to win this game. I think Buffalo's also 0-2 in the division because they lost to the Patriots and they lost to the Jets. Or did they beat the Jets?
The Jets beat the Dolphins.
No, I'm talking about the Bills.
Played them? I don't think the Jets have played Buffalo yet. Okay. Yeah, they haven't played Buffalo yet.
All right, well, either way, Dolphins are 0-2. They need a win in this division. I think Dan Campbell also needs to have a solid win after getting shellacked. I mean, everybody's going to get shellacked for the Patriots, but you want to come back strong, show that, you know, those first two games against those sorry opponents wasn't a fluke. You actually have to beat somebody that's worth something. I think the Dolphins win this one. It'll be close, though. Should be interesting. Well, speaking of your Jets, they are at home and they have to deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars, whose offense has been lighting it up, but their defense can certainly be had unless they're playing EJ Manuel, which they all of a sudden know how to have takeaways. But that being said, you know, you're the one that would probably know more than any, but Who at the end of the day, are you, who, I know we asked this question at the end of the recap or whatever, but who do you think, who are they saying is going to be starting for the Jets at this point?
Fitzpatrick's going to start. His left hand's doing good enough, and I mean, he's just going to have to be very careful about receiving the ball from the center, but Fitzpatrick's starting for the Jets.
Still think that's the right call, Gary? Or?
I think it's your right call for the simple fact that Fitzpatrick gives them the best chance to win this game. He's done pretty well for himself this year. Geno, you know, did whatever he could, but I mean, he hadn't really eluded injury himself. So, but yeah, I think you got to stick with Fitzpatrick. If he says he can play, if the doctors and of course the coaches evaluate him to be able to do that, yeah, I think he's the right play here.
The Jaguars score more than 17 points. Fact or fiction?
I go fiction. I mean, it's just, you know, as this team has gone along, they've done some surprising things, but I just feel like this Jets defense is going to clamp down on them.
Randy?
I'm actually going to say over. The last three teams have scored over 20 points against the Jets. The defense is struggling a little bit. I am not liking the inability to tackle at all.
Well, Gary, you think Chris Ivory comes back to form here against the Jags, or think his hamstring's still going to bother him a little bit?
I think he's going to still have a little bit of, you know, worry there. He's going to try to go full strength, and But, you know, those kind of things stick in your mind. And I feel like it, to an extent, will with him as well. He's going to try to be very mindful of that. I think he'll have an okay day, but I don't think he's going to blow the Jags out of the water here. He'll probably, you know, at the best, if you ask me, I think he'll have 100 yards rushing and possibly a touchdown.
Are you confident anybody on that Jags offense, considering, you know, Revis Island and all that?
You know what? I don't really think that I'm really just too confident in maybe the receiving core here. I will say this, though. I do think that maybe the running game could do okay. I feel like that they can probably have some success there. And if they get the running game going, they can feed off that, maybe use it to their advantage in the passing game in certain places. So I'm more going to the running game.
So you're saying Yeldon is the guy to start?
I would say if you're going to have to start a Jag, Yeldon's my guy.
All right. Well, that, of course, Randy's covering his Jets, so I move on and cover the other Florida team who is at home against the New York football Giants.
Do we do our picks? Do we pick a pick?
Oh, yeah, we didn't do a picks. Anybody picking the Jags here against the Jets?
No, I got Jets.
Give me the Jets.
Yeah, Jets. Yeah, so JPP is back with the team. He signed his deal. I think they're saying he might be able to play as early as next week. So that's got to instill some confidence. Do you think that that has any kind of moral effect on the guys here to kind of... Does this have any effect on the defense, where you see the defense play much better? Nate, you know, maybe there's some sacks on Jameis Winston, the things that we don't normally see from them, obviously. Just we see them intercept the ball, and I'll give a number. Giants hold the Buccaneers down to 13 points or less.
I'm going false on that. Yeah. I mean, I definitely want to hear Randy's point of view on this, but from what I saw last week and from what I've seen in the past, I mean, New York has not stopped anybody. The Giants just have not really done a great job in defense, and adding JPP is wonderful. It looks beautiful, but he hasn't played football in a while now, and he's been out of football, and we all know that that doesn't, you know, mean that he's going to be terrible, but it means that he's probably not going to be in his best form. So I don't imagine an immediate boost here. And not only that, I think Winston's learned a lot. So I think mid-form, Winston's better than what he was week one. You're not going to see that same team.
Randy?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to give up 52 points like they did last week, but their defense is still struggling a little bit, and like Gary said, Winston is starting to figure things out a little bit. He's relying more on the running game with Martin and Sims, and Mike Evans are starting to be getting a relationship. They should be getting Austin Seferian Jenkins back, who was like his go-to guy in the first couple weeks before he got injured. So it's going to be tough to stop Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, in Tampa Bay's defense, I mean, this could be another shootout game because Tampa Bay's defense, outside of division gains, really hasn't stopped a lot of people either. So, you know, who knows? It could be another one of those wild and crazy games. That being said, which set of running backs has the better game? Martin and Sims or whoever the hell the Giants send out there?
You know, that's a good question because I think both defenses, you know, have been allowing people to run on them at times. You know, they're both about the same level. But I think for me personally, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Martin and Sims. I think that they, as a group, they do well together.
Have they made any kind of notion, have Todd Coughlin made any kind of notion with Orleans Darkwa, or is he still one of those, he's just going to show up whenever he shows up?
I think he's going to show up whenever Coughlin decides that he's going to be needed. I don't think that they're ready to put him as a lead dog yet.
Well, do you who do you have more faith in, Eli and his receivers or Winston and his receivers?
You know, for me, I think you got to rely on Eli here. Winston's, like Randy just pointed out too. I mean, this guy is doing a better job getting the ball out to Evans, you know, making sure that he's getting the ball in the right places instead of, you know, throwing it to the other team. So if he's doing that more often than he is the other. But Eli, it's hard to go against a guy like that. And his receivers have gotten so used to him, and he's gotten used to them as well. So he may have been playing shorthanded at times with his receivers, but they sure do trust him, and he trusts them. So I think they're going to go with Eli.
Well, who do we got?
I want to pull the upset. Nah, give me the Giants.
As much as I think that JPP could give a hand to the Giants defense, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay here. And it's going to be a close, close game, but I think that the upset could happen.
Why did I not have my stuff open? Because I think I might have... Nope, I didn't. I picked the Giants. So, there you go. Giants all the way through.
I'm going Tampa.
Oh, you're going Tampa. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going Tampa.
Well, let's hope that happens. Because I still don't know what to think about a team we'll be talking about later. But so let's move on to a game that is very vital for both teams, because the Vikings obviously want to keep pace with the Packers, and even if they don't, they'll be tied with two losses if the Vikings can win. And of course the Rams want to keep some kind of a semblance of a lead on the Seahawks, so they're going to be wanting to win here. This game, considering the two that are a quarterback here, is going to be more about big defensive plays than it is about big offensive plays. Randy?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be more of which defense can completely shut down the other one. I mean, you're not excited about either quarterback in this matchup. It's definitely the defenses and the running backs. It's Adrian Peterson and Todd Gurley, and it's which defense is going to make the big play.
Well, that being said, Gary, is it going to be the St. Louis Gurleys or the Minnesota Petersons at the end of the day? Which running back has the better game?
As much as I respect Peterson, Peterson has not lit the world on fire. He's been okay at times, but I think I'm going to go with the St. Louis Gurleys. He's got a lot of momentum on his side, and I think he looks great. And Minnesota, you know, has had a decent run defense and been pretty gosh darn good at times. But for me personally, I think Gurley can expose him a little bit here, and I think he can make things happen. So I got to go Gurley.
Somebody's got to shut down Gurley at some point.
And you know, Minnesota may get the closest, but I don't think they're going to shut him down completely.
All right. Is Tavon Austin really the only other guy you can start for the Rams at this point besides Gurley?
Yeah, really, honestly, he is the one guy, and even at that, he is kind of a flyer. He can, you know, be a guy that's used in. If you have a team, especially that uses special teams points, if you have him on offense. But really, for me personally, I would not be high on Austin at all. This is a guy you're playing if you're desperate or if you're in a, you know, a 16-team league. I don't play him if I'm in a regular standard league.
Well, we know what Stephon Diggs can do. He's obviously Bridgewater's favorite target here, but is there any, you think Charles Johnson gains any kind of momentum because he scored he basically got the game, the catch that got him in a position for the field goal, or do you think he's still going to be one of these situational guys? Like, he's not going to all of a sudden receive more attention.
I don't expect a whole lot out of him. I really do feel like he's going to be situational. You know, he's got some success in this league, but not enough to showcase that he's a talent that you can trust every week.
That's so weird. He was supposed to be their number one guy. Mm-hmm. You know, when they started the season, everybody's like, oh, Charles Johnson, that's the dude. And then all of a sudden, you can't find him anywhere because it's almost like he's not playing. But yeah, I mean, who do we have winning this game here?
Listen, if this one was in St. Louis, give me the girlies, but it's in Minnesota. St. Louis struggles on the road. Give me the Vikings.
You know what? This is a tough game for me because of that fact. The defensive battle here is going to be very interesting. We like both these running backs. I think they're both talented, and you know, it's just so hard because you know me, guys. I'm big on the Rams and what they can do. But you know what? Yeah, screw it. I'll go with the upset here. I'll say St. Louis. Why not? I'll just go with it.
I was going to go with the upset already. St. Louis for me. All right, so we move along to Atlanta going into San Francisco, who's just gotten this big old ordeal with Colin Kaepernick being benched in favor of Blaine Gabbert and also Vernon Davis being gone from the San Francisco 49ers. So that means Matt Ryan's going to have a huge game, right? Even though it's not in the dome.
Matt Ryan should have a good game here, but I don't think that, you know, Matt Ryan's going to just explode here. You don't expect a Drew Brees or Tom Brady-like day out of him. I really feel like what we've seen out of Matt Ryan is what we're going to get in this game as well. He's going to have some success, but really they're going to go ahead and feed off that running game. And if the running game can get going, and which I think could get back on track here this week, then you're not going to need Matt Ryan to do a whole lot.
Well, Randy, we know Blaine Gabbert has a history of being a terrible quarterback. Over under 2.5 turnovers for Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, over. This season's going to just... I mean, it's already ugly enough for the 49ers, and it's just getting worse and worse.
Considering who their quarterback is, Gary, can you start any 49ers?
No, I would not recommend. I mean, Carlos Hyde, and he's had some injury issues, so I'm not even sold on using him right now, because I feel like that, you know, that could hinder him from being as capable as possible. But if I was forced to start anybody, it would be Hyde. But besides that, no.
All right, that's and basically start everybody if you're the.
If you got them from the Falcons, I play them.
Even Roddy White?
Well, no, Roddy White, that's a little bit trickier, but.
I thought I'd throw it in there. So, everybody taking Atlanta?
Yes.
Yeah, I got Atlanta.
Okay. All right, Randy, this is an interesting game for you here. The Oakland Raiders coming into Pittsburgh and taking on Big Ben as he takes a second crack at coming back and getting a win for his team. I had a question and now I just completely bungled it. Big Ben is back to more of the old Big Ben in this game, or still going to struggle a bit?
No, I think you see Big Ben return to form in this game. The Raiders' pass defense is not great, so I think he's going to fling it around. I see Derek Carr kind of continuing what he did over the last 2 weeks and airing it out, so I see a shootout in the making, and yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game.
You think D'Angelo Williams can carry that load again?
He did before Bell came off suspension, so I don't see anything different here.
Well, Gary, who has the better game, Amari Cooper or Antonio Brown?
You know what? I think Cooper could have a really good day, but I'm going to go with Brown. I mean, he's been waiting for Big Ben to come back. We've seen the success that they've had together, and I don't think that ends in this game. I think that you're going to see Big Ben trying to make up for lost time.
This might be a game of who do you don't start. But who, you know what, let's, you know, because it's quite possible at this point, you know, let's say you picked up D'Angelo Williams and you have one spot to fill, do you fill it with a D'Angelo Williams or do you fill it with Latavius Murray?
Yeah, Murray to me is a okay play here, but not great. I mean, I wouldn't put my chips down on him at all. I think he's okay, but you're taking a high risk, so I'd probably go the other direction because I just don't have enough faith in Murray.
You think Heath Miller is a sneaky play for if you're needing a tight end for the Steelers here?
Yeah, I think he could be an okay play. You know, Heath Miller, you know, is a guy that you need to keep your sights on very average day. I don't think he's going to just do anything. I don't even expect a touchdown out of Heath Miller. But if you need a guy and you just need a warm body, he's a good one to have.
Well, who do you have winning?
I got Steelers.
Yeah, me too. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I got Steelers, too. So, yeah, Steelers all across the board. So, let's get to, well, what CBS considers their game of the week, which I'll be doing the rabble with Brandon for this one. Denver Broncos traveling in Indianapolis, you know, Peyton's former home for so many years, to take on the Colts after they fire their offensive coordinator after the blunder that was in on Monday night. Was that fair to Pep Hamilton? Is that really his fault that Andrew Luck's just having a bad year? I mean,
yeah, it's I've heard it before and I'm going to be stealing this, but it's not like he was the one that decided to throw the interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, all you can do is make the play calls. You can't execute them. Obviously, Andrew Luck is having a down year, a lot of that due to all of the injuries that he is going through on top of the bad offensive line. I think, for the most part, he was doing a decent job play calling, though it did kind of show that once they kind of threw the playbook down and just went for it in the second half against the Panthers, it started to work. So maybe he is overthinking a little bit, and getting somebody else in there to simplify the playbook will be good for the Colts. But no, it wasn't fair to him.
Well, Gary, that being said, we know what's happening here. Peyton Manning will be the player of the game when it's all said and done.
I can definitely see that. I mean, he's going to have plenty of opportunities to burn this defense, and you know, let's be honest, running or passing on this defense is very capable of doing for most teams. So, I mean, yeah, I think that P for sure could be the guy that you want to call the MVP of this game.
All right, Randy, we've seen, you know, Andrew Luck throw interceptions, except for the last game. We know Peyton Manning is apt to throw some interceptions. Over under 2.5 interceptions in the game, period.
Oh, you got to go over here. I mean, Andrew Luck is definitely struggling in that department, and the Denver defense is really good. Peyton might not actually throw one, and this could go over.
Well, Gary, we've seen T.Y. Hilton kind of underperforming thanks to Andrew Luck, and considering who's going to be on, is there anyone that you're really starting with confidence here on the Colts, aside from maybe Andrew Luck because you have to?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at all the receivers and what they're going to be facing, and it's not going to be easy trucking. And I think T.Y. Hilton is definitely still the number one target to look out for, but you got to really keep your expectations low. I think, really, let's be honest, Luck's going to be under pressure a lot of this game. And so it's going to make it tough for those receivers to catch big plays. So I don't really have much faith in any of the receivers for the Colts this week.
So for Denver, has there been any kind of sort of maybe eye-opening for or an opening for you know you should start Hillman over Anderson or vice versa in that Denver running game?
I think the proof is in the pudding from what you've seen out of Hillman. I think Hillman's just more productive. If he's made the best of what he's gotten, out of all the carries, you know, that both these guys have gotten, it seems like Hillman is making the best of it. So I still stick with him until Anderson can prove that he can do what he did last week on a more normal basis.
What about Emmanuel Sanders? You've kind of seen him go quiet recently. I mean, he was a big target for Manning for a little while. Is it just really like Demaryius Thomas and kind of just... Actually, this is the better question. We saw Vernon Davis get signed and everything. Is he a play at all, or is it too early?
It's too early, and I'd be surprised if he plays this game. Only because, I mean, he just got the playbook. He's not accustomed to what they're going to be doing. If they played him, it would just be for a few plays, but it's just not correct right now to start him right away.
All right. Everybody got the Broncos here?
Yep.
Yeah, I got the Broncos.
Broncos. All right, Gary. Me and you will be doing the rabble for this game. Philadelphia Eagles and Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. Or not in Dallas, in Arlington. We've seen Matt Castle have a good game and lose and throw three interceptions. We've also seen Matt Castle not throw any interceptions and have a bad game. Is this the week where we finally see Matt Castle have both a good game and no turnovers?
I wouldn't say no turnovers. That's kind of going a little bit far on that. But I think that he could have a good game here. The defense for the Philadelphia is stronger in the front than it is the back. Their secondary is not the best. They've had struggles with almost every team they played for the most part. But their front is pretty good. They've been able to stop the run at times. So I think that's what I'm looking at. I think Matt Castle should have some success against this weary secondary of the Eagles. But, you know, fumbles are always there, and interceptions, yeah, sure, they can still get one.
I would say be careful because Noah Carroll's is kind of like Cromartie against us, where he can – we've seen him make some plays. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be careful. And then Maxwell's the guy that's kind of underperformed, and he's the one that got the big bucks. So, you know, you have to see what's going on with that. But I do agree with you. Castle's going to have to take some shots on these guys because if they don't, you know, they could wind up in trouble. And, you know, we asked this question before, but I'm going to ask it again because it's relevant. Because people are still talking about if Dallas made the wrong choice after what happened with Mr. Randall this week. DeMarco Murray, over 100 yards against the Cowboys. Fact or fiction?
Oof, that's tough. You know what, and this would surprise people, but I think I'm going to go fact here. I think that Philadelphia is going to try to keep the ball out of Bradford's hands at times. I think that they realized the last game they played against the Cowboys, Bradford turned the ball over a few times, and that did not work out for them. So I think they're going to try to match what the Cowboys do and run the ball a little bit here. You can see that the Cowboys have not been the best run defense at times, and I think Murray's got something to prove, and he's going to try to prove it this time around. I really feel like that. So
I don't know about that. Lynch got held to about 60-something yards.
Yeah.
They held Murray to about – this is without Greg Hardy and McLean's, what, like 2 yards or something like that on that first one. I would have to say fiction on that. I think I don't think Murray has 2 yards again, but I think – Greg Hardy's going to make Mr. Bradford's life miserable.
Yeah, which is why I think the running game is going to be key. I think they're going to try to keep Bradford standing up.
I would agree. But, you know, we've seen him commit turnovers in every game. I don't know that it's going to be much different. I mean, until the last game, the only time the Cowboys had any turnovers was against the Eagles the first time. So.
Oh. What do you think, Randy? I'm just really curious, because, I mean, you're the outsider here looking in. I mean, do you feel like Murray's going to have a good day or no?
I think he's going to have a decent day. Obviously, the last time these two teams met, they completely destroyed him. So I don't think it's that bad. Does he top 100 yards? It's going to be a little bit more difficult. I mean, obviously, the Cowboys can stop the run, and they kind of understand what Murray tries to do offensively, and they know how to kind of shut him down. But I think he's going to have a decent day. He'll push 100 yards. He'll get close.
But would you rather start Ryan Matthews in this game, Gary, if you're a fantasy owner?
You know, I think Matthews will be what he is, and that is, you know, get you some about 50 yards, maybe, and maybe some, you know, receptions here and there. But no, Matthews has not proven that you need to start him in this, you know, in any capacity, unless you were in a deep league and you just got to have somebody.
Do you start the Cowboys defense or the Eagles defense?
Well, I'll be honest with you, and I hate to be this way, but I'd be more inclined to play the Eagles defense in fantasy because it's been proven right now as we sit through statistics and just what's going on, and the Cowboys have not turned the ball over, or excuse me, they have not gotten turnovers on defense as much as the Eagles have. The Eagles have been a little bit more successful on that. The Cowboys are still struggling, so until they prove me that they can get turnovers, I'm going to go Eagles defense here.
All right, Gary, who's winning this game?
You know, it's tough. I don't, you know, I honestly would love to pick the Eagles because I think it would get me at points in our pick'ems. I'm just going to go with my heart here. I'm just going to say the Cowboys only because they've got to win this game. If you want to talk about a must-win game, this is it. Not only is it, hey, we can't lose six games, but it's also we can't lose a division game if we want to get anywhere, if we want to even go to the playoffs. And this is the key game here because if they can beat the Eagles twice – they still got the Redskins to play twice. They could legitimately, if they could win this game, and they could beat the Redskins twice, I mean, they could have a really good shot at winning their division. So, but they've got to win this game to do it.
Well, you stole a lot of what I was going to say out of my mouth here. Cowboys have to win this game. It is so necessary for the psyche of the team. That, you know how many people are asking, because Romo's out there on the practice field now, is Romo okay? Or, you know, are we going to see Romo getting more contact stuff? And I'm just like, the team needs to win one without Romo, just so that they can feel like, okay, we got it. We got one. We gave them some kind of cushion. It's not this pressure that if we lose a game when Romo's around, we're done. Like, just... The next two games are must win for the Cowboys. You have to give Romo the most possible pressure he can get. And if I'm looking at it right now, I think the Cowboys made a big mistake putting Romo on the pup list anyway. I think Dez should have gone on that list. I don't understand how they didn't think the quarterback is more important than Dez. But whatever, you know.
Well, it just depends on the healing and. His healing was set further out. So I'm not sure if even if they did do what you said, that Romo would play this game.
I don't know about this game, but it's the Tampa Bay game for sure.
Yeah.
That being said, we got to move on to the last game, Monday Night Football.
Well, Randy. Did Randy pick it?
Yeah, you didn't make a pick.
I'll make my pick it after the game.
What?
Is that okay? No.
No. I'm not gonna.
What? No. Go ahead, Randy. You got to pick now. We did. You got to pick.
Yeah, but this is your team. It's okay.
I don't care.
A pick.
Hey.
No, because I'm just saying I keep bouncing back and forth on this game. It's so difficult. Oh. I mean, because Dallas dominated them so much in that first game.
Yeah, they made even Whedon look good.
Yeah, but I mean, something about Jerry World that just messes him up. I'm taking Philadelphia here.
Okay, fair enough.
Hey, you wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah, it's history. It really is. Cowboys do well at the Link, and the Eagles do well at Jerry World.
All right, so we got the Chicago Bears against San Diego Chargers on Monday Night Football. I feel like we've just seen the Chargers a zillion times on primetime in some form or fashion. So... how much will the Chargers miss Keenan Allen, who is now out for the season with a lacerated kidney?
I mean, he's going to be a blow, but it's definitely more of a blow towards fantasy owners. You can fill the hole with Malcolm Floyd and and Stevie Johnson, and you're going to see a lot more Antonio Gates. But there are still weapons out there, and Danny Woodhead. There's still definitely a lot of weapons for Phillip Rivers to use.
You feel that way too, Gary?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, the names that Randy just mentioned are all the key guys. If you need a guy in fantasy, those are the guys to go pick up because they're going to be relied on heavily. And, you know, Phillip Rivers has proven that he doesn't need a top-notch receiver to get by, to make things happen. And I think these guys will help him along no matter what.
All right, true or false, Jay Cutler will have to outperform Phillip Rivers for the Bears to win.
I think, Randy, you go first.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be a shootout. This is going to kind of be like the Oakland-Pittsburgh game where it's the first one to 30 has the best chance to win, and that might not even be enough. I think you see both offenses go completely ridiculous. I think you see a lot of Alshon Jeffrey. I think you see a lot of Antonio Gates. I think it's a very high-scoring game. So, but yes, Kick, if Cutler has a rough game, the Chargers blow him out.
Yeah, me and Randy totally agree, so I don't have to say much more on this. I just think that, you know, Cutler has to make sure he keeps the ball in his hands and not turn it over. He can't do that. He's got to make sure he keeps on good terms, getting the ball to Jeffrey, doing whatever he can to help this team win because, you know, San Diego's defense is going to try to get him. They're going to try to bottle him up, and so it's all reliant, really, on what Cutler does.
All right. Well, is there anybody that you don't start for either of these teams? Do you just not start Cutler?
I mean, I don't think that the San Diego defense is beatable. I think that Cutler can have some success on them. So, I mean, I don't think you wouldn't start Cutler. I mean, I think for the most part, you can start most anybody on either team. I don't think either defense is going to be stopping either. So I think you could have some success with the guys that they have out there.
All right, who's winning?
Give me the Chargers.
The Chargers got to get off the snide, man.
Yeah, I got Chargers.
All right, that does it for our NFL Week 9 preview. Randy, what's going on in the college game? I know there is a huge, huge SEC West defining matchup with LSU and Alabama, but what else is there?
Well, according to ESPN, that's it.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, real quick, I mean, I just got to know, Randy, you know, you're the college guy. You really can kind of help me figure this thing out. But what's up with these rankings? Did you agree with the rankings when they came out this week?
Oh, yeah, we need to talk about that. Those rankings, man, there's – boy.
It's – I'm trying to look them up before.
I mean, to be fair,
them.
Last year Ohio State – was 16 and they wound up winning the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ones this early are never that big of a deal. Like everyone will freak out about it. But of course they're going to put two SEC teams up there at the beginning. And they play each other this week, so it's more of a ratings thing. Really, it's like, hey, look, two of the top four teams are facing each other. Please check it out, But other than that, I mean, it's all going to sort itself out. Everyone can freak out about it, but we still have many weeks to go and a lot of conference championships to go. So I don't get overblown by it.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, I mean, does Florida State have any shot against Clemson then? I mean, Clemson's the number one team in the country.
Who are you asking?
Either one of you, I guess.
I think Clemson, I think they can take care of business. That's just me personally.
Yeah, they've been definitely great, and now they're, you know, at home for this game, so it goes perfectly for them. So do you just want to go through these pick-ems real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Florida State as my upset with a one. So, There's that.
Yeah, well, I actually have Clemson as my 8. I just love them at home. It works really well.
Yeah.
But anyway, so let's kind of go through this. The problem with doing the pick-ems thing is I try to do them in order of time, and then my conference rankings has it all messed up. But so let's go. We have Duke and North Carolina in a tough ACC matchup. I have North Carolina at home, but not very confident. They're pretty evenly matched. But
I have it as my 4. I have North Carolina at home, too.
Yeah, I'm going Tar Heels.
Okay, another early matchup. We have number 5 Notre Dame at Pittsburgh. Any way Pittsburgh pulls off the upset?
Ooh, that's a good question, and I could possibly see it happening, but no, I think the Notre Dame's, they're going to take care of business here, too. I think that, I just don't know. There's something about Notre Dame. I think they're going to do okay in this one.
Oh, Notre Dame can't suffer another loss. I have them as my 6. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I have them as a 6, too. How about Arizona State and Washington State? Washington State nearly pulling off the upset last week against Stanford in the big primetime game, which was a big deal up here. Arizona State, obviously my fallout terrible pick, but I'm taking Washington State at home, but just as a 1, because the Pac-12 has proven that it's just upset city, and I don't think anybody in that conference is going to make the tournament.
I have Washington State as my 5, just because there's a couple of other games that I'm not too confident about that are above it. Yeah,
I'll just go the opposite. I'll go Arizona State. Why not?
Number 8 TCU at number 14 Oklahoma State. another one.
What a crock that is, number 8 TCU. But whatever. Sorry.
Well, they haven't played anyone yet. I mean, to be honest, it's.
Oh, but Baylor can be ranked higher than that.
Well, though, again, it's the rankings don't mean too much because they're going to face each other soon. So, I mean, they'll get to settle it out as it is. So,
I got TCU as my 3. This game's going to be rough.
Yeah, I have it as a 4, but I have TCU as well.
I don't have a whole lot of confidence in this game. I just don't, but I'm going to go with TCU.
How about Marshall and Middle Tennessee of all teams? Give me Marshall.
Marshall? Middle Tennessee is good for like one upset a year sometimes. So.
Yeah, I'm going Marshall.
Number 9, Iowa and Indiana. Iowa's just been so good, and even on the road, I gotta take them.
Lord, Iowa's... Can't believe we're talking about Iowa being undefeated right now. can't believe we're talking about Memphis being undefeated either. So, yeah, I gotta take Iowa. I got it as my 10.
Yeah, me too. I think Iowa's gonna make sure that they... keep their momentum going here.
Okay, we all said we're taking Clemson, or did anybody say they were taking Florida State? You have Florida State, so that's a big one. Let's see the next one. Time wise, Navy at number 13, Memphis. Can Memphis stop that running attack of Navy, or does Navy pull the crazy upset on the road?
It's possible, but I think Memphis has been on a roll. I'm going to take them and take it as a 9.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, this to me is still unsure. But I think Memphis, you know, I think that they'll be able to pull it off. It may be a close one, but I think they could pull it off.
And I completely forgot to make picks last week, so I'm way down in this.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. I'm with Sean. I have it as a number 9 as well for Memphis. How about number 12, Utah on the road against Washington? Give me Utah, and this is my number 10.
That is my number 8.
Yeah, I'm going Utah, and that's my number 9.
And I think that just leaves us with the main event. Number 2, LSU. Number 4, Alabama. Obviously, a huge rivalry, big playoff implications. Give me the SEC team that's at home, but not confident, just a 2 for me, but give me Alabama.
That's the exact number I have it in, and that's the exact team I have it in, Alabama. Dropped LSU down a peg.
I don't want to see that happen. I want LSU to be strong.
I want TCU to be back in contention, so all these big teams need to lose.
Well, that means LSU, but Alabama's up there too, so Alabama losing will kill them down too. So I'm going to go LSU.
All right. Yeah, that's all of them, right?
That's it.
Well, what are you most excited for this weekend? Is it that LSU-Alabama game? Is it one of the NFL games? Or
for me personally, I'm going with that LSU-Alabama game. I mean, I think it's going to be very interesting. You know, I am going to be rooting for LSU personally. So it's going to be a fun one. I'm going to be at a friend's house over there helping them do a few things, but hopefully with the game on and a big screen. So hopefully I should get to enjoy most of it.
Randy?
Yeah, mine is definitely the Packers-Panthers game. I definitely want to see how those two clash against each other.
I'm definitely interested in the Packers-Panthers game. I think that's the most pivotal game of the whole week, I think. And just, it's going to be fun to watch. Let's see if Aaron Rodgers gets his mojo back. Let's see what Cam does against that defense. We'll have to see. LSU-Alabama, obviously, being a person that is a fan of an SEC team, it's huge. And, you know, let's see what happens in that game. All right, well, that does it for our preview edition of the podcast. We will be back Monday night after Monday Night Football to recap all of Week 9. So be sure, if you've been listening to us and enjoying it, hit subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever there are podcasts that you're listening, you know, Podbean. We're on YouTube. W2M Network, you can find all of the W2M Network podcasts that involves the wrestling podcast that we just finished, talking about that big Seth Rollins ACL tear and what that means for WWE, and then all these other things. And of course, we're not doing a co-op multi until this weekend on Saturday night when BlizzCon is over, and we'll be able to talk about all the stuff that got announced there, which starts tomorrow and then ends on Saturday. Watch some of those tournaments too. And Randy, I had lots of fun trying to defuse bombs with you on your Twitch. But you also have a podcast that goes along with that. So
yeah, Sean joined us for a little get together. We played a game. It's called Keep Talking and No One Explodes, where I was in control of the bomb, but they couldn't see the bomb, and they were in control of all of the instructions on how to defuse the bomb, but I couldn't see those. So it was a lot of hectic talking back and forth and trying to figure stuff out, and my inability to read Morse code and all sorts of stuff. But that was a lot of fun. Definitely check out our YouTube channel, the Backlog Busting Project, where pretty soon Wes should have a highlight video of that experience. As well as our podcast at backlogbusting.com, where we just kind of talk about old school video games, kind of work through some of the games that we've missed over the years. I'm currently playing through Luigi's Mansion and Donkey Kong Country, and absolutely loving and hating both of them, because loving them because they're very good games, hating them because Donkey Kong Country is kicking my ass. It has been a while since I have played an old school platformer, and it is not holding my hand. But I'm loving it every step of the way. I love the challenge. But yeah, absolutely. Tune in there to have us talk more about it in detail.
Yeah, that Donkey Kong Country kicks everybody's ass. It's just, I don't know how many times. It certainly is not. There's times where you're like, man, I know I hit that button. And then, oh, crap, I lost.
No, my bigger,
there's also that.
My bigger issue is, and I'll get to a new section and something will just come out of nowhere and drill me. And then it's like, ah, okay. okay, and then you try to remember it, and then you screw up something else, and then it starts getting frustrated. And
right, and then we got Call of Duty comes out today, and then Fallout 4 will be out on Tuesday. My goodness, big games, big huge games coming out.
Yeah.
Already. So. All right. Well, like I said. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever. Write and review. Subscribe. All that stuff is wonderful. Helps out a lot. And, of course, check us out on Rabble at 425 for the Indianapolis Colts and Broncos game with myself and Brandon Bisco being. Of course, I am now Sean the Billboard Garmer because one of my quotes from the last Sunday SNF game was on a billboard somewhere. I don't know where. Apparently, it might be somewhere in Green Bay from the looks of the hashtags and stuff, but that's pretty interesting. And then, of course, Gary and I will be there for the Cowboys and Eagles game, which is either going to be a horrifying experience watching Matt Castle just screw up everything, or maybe we'll be happy for once as Cowboy fans. It's been really hard to be, like, impartial doing those the last couple weeks, so... All right. Well, see everybody later.